Hello, I'm Paul Lowerman, and I'm the youth director here at NPC. And it's my pleasure to introduce our speakers this morning. Now, as you may have noticed, our preachers are a little younger than they normally look. And that's because it's our custom to have several graduating seniors give their testimonies during this time. So it's my pleasure to introduce Juan He Lim, Rebecca Gore, and our first speaker, Anna Martin.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Anna Martin, and I'm a senior at Walt Whitman High School in Bethesda, Maryland. And next year, I'll be attending Brown University. Right now, I can guarantee that my mom's actually already crying, so Dad, if you could please hand her some tissues, we packed extra. In contemplating this senior testimony, I ran into a serious difficulty. Although I admit I have been planning this speech ever since I attended my first Youth Sunday in the second grade, I always thought that by the time I was a senior myself, something big with a capital B would have happened to me. Something life-changing, something earth-shattering, and possibly painful, but definitely spiritually rewarding. I was confident that by the time I was a senior, I would have something huge to talk about. But as I sat staring at my empty computer screen, I was faced with the dreadful and terrible realization that my life up until this point has been pretty great. I'm surrounded by constant love and support from family and friends, and I've grown up in this church. How absolutely disappointing, right? I thought I had nothing to write about, until I realized that my spiritual journey isn't defined by some cataclysmic event, but by a mindset I've held consistently throughout my life. I've always placed an extreme emphasis on achievement in the academic sphere. Unlike a lot of the stereotypical high school overachiever horror stories, my drive for perfection was never outwardly imposed by my parents, and for that I'm so grateful. My desire to achieve was wholly of my own development, and many times it unduly consumed me. As a person very prone to anxiety, grades and deadlines could send me into a sort of panic, leading to many all-nighters and even more cups of coffee. From the beginning of my educational career, I would tolerate nothing less than perfection. And this school-fueled anxiety soon translated my earnest motivation into something ultimately unrewarding. In my junior year, many of these pressures came to a head. I slept a maximum of 3 hours a night and was constantly on edge because of it. It was an extremely difficult time in my life, and I remember coming home from a play rehearsal and work around 10 o'clock at night and thinking about how much work I had to do for the next day and just crying. I was so exhausted mentally, physically, and spiritually. I was struck multiple times that my life was like running on one of those little hamster wheels. There was lots of strenuous activity, but ultimately it got me nowhere. Because what was my end goal after all? Was it a job or was it college? Because I'd have to put in the same amount of effort and I'd be faced with the same amount of pressures, only likely augmented. In the wee hours of the morning, hunched over my homework, it just didn't seem worth it. Those were especially hard times for me. And if I'm being completely honest with myself, I realize that I brought a lot of the stress upon myself. If I hadn't set the bar for perfection, I wouldn't have had such a hard time trying to reach it. But so much of my life up to this point has been achievement-focused. My successes have been quantifiable. My self-worth has been liable to letter grades. My happiness dependent on decimal-pointed numbers and perched on percentages. My realization has been slowly building that I do not want to continue my life this way. I will undoubtedly keep striving in college and beyond, but I no longer want to define myself with numbers. I want to live not along the lines of others, but along God's lines. It will be a big change for me, and I'll have to put effort into the shift in mindset every day. I must constantly remind myself that, as Paul wrote in Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works. The ultimate gift I can give both to God and myself is a life lived for Him, not a life lived striving solely for the world's standards of success. I'm so thankful for this church and the people in it for giving me glimpses of what it means to do just that. On mission trips to the Dominican Republic and Haiti, I had some of the most poignant experiences of my life. One moment frozen in my memory is singing hymns at a church in Anse Pete. As I looked around the room at these joyful people praising the Lord with everything in them, I saw people who measured themselves not by the world standards, but modeled themselves after Jesus' example. I see those Haitian churchgoers as the epitome of letting go of the world and embracing Christ, and I want to emulate them in my daily life. But I don't need to go abroad to find this kind of inspiration. Just come to church and talking with friends that I've had since I can remember, and adults who care so much about me, I'm awed by the sheer spiritual force of this place. Throughout my life, this church and its community have been my kind of respite from the hectic week and a safety net I know I can always depend on. I'm really scared to leave it next year, but I'm confident that I'll find a place that makes me feel just as welcome and becomes, just as this has, a family. My faith is constantly a work in progress. It's growing, it's maturing, and it's changing constantly. But I know that I've made the conscious decision to develop it even further as the years progress. There is no question that I will often fail, that my drive for achievement and perfection will sometimes overcome my desire to discover God and embrace my imperfections. I am in a much better place than I was just last year, and I'm excited and scared to find out where God takes me in the next chapter of my life. I'm determined to embark on this pathway of my future, equipped with a new mindset. My priorities must reflect what's truly important, and what's truly important is faith. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Gore, and next fall I will be attending the College of William and Mary, and I'm so excited because I just decided yesterday. I'm the youngest of four children. We all look very similar, so we are known as the Gores, not really individuals. But I don't mind, because my siblings and I are both very close in relationship and in age. We all attended the same elementary, middle, and high school. I am currently a senior at Woodrow Wilson High School here in D.C. My high school is not too far from here, just across Wisconsin Avenue. It's okay if you aren't good with directions and don't know where that is. It is so close in distance, but yet such a completely different environment. There I have to walk through a metal detector and put my bag on an x-ray machine to get in the building. My school is one of the best in the city, but it doesn't always feel safe. Fights break out pretty often, and I've had my wallet stolen multiple times. It's been crazy times, but I have found a safe place in God and in this church. I have been attending this church since I can remember. My dad, Mitch Gore, was the youth director. On a side note, yes, now he is the athletic director at my high school. And I do feel like he's following me. But having my dad work at National made us attend every single event and get really involved. It was good, though, since I began to fall in love with the church, the community, and the people. But as a child, I didn't have a faith of my own. It was always just my parents' faith. When they would go to church, I would go too. I did what I thought I was supposed to do, to be a good Christian. What do you guys think a good Christian is? As a teen, I imagine a girl or boy who never likes to party, has never said a curse word before, and who carries a Bible with them everywhere. I can certainly not live up to those standards. And who says Christians have to be like that anyways? No one, actually. What Jesus said was, "Follow me." It's about a relationship with God, not outward perfection. What helped shape my understanding were a few middle school mission trips. It was on my first trip that they challenged us to accept Jesus into our hearts. I tried it, and it felt really good. I came home from the trip not knowing what else to do in order to continue my relationship with God. From that trip on, I always thought I had to ask God into my heart again. I would say to myself, this time is just in case last time didn't work. But I came to realize that God had never left me and never will. I didn't need help. I didn't need to keep restarting the relationship. I just needed to continue it by staying connected. Two summers ago, God's love hit me in a fresh way. I went on a trip to a Young Life summer camp. On the trip, we were reminded that Jesus really loves us each so much. I know that we've heard this a lot, especially those of us who go to church all the time, but it's amazing and true and worth hearing again. He is dying to be with each and every one of us. The only instruction manual for a relationship with God is the Bible. I have been working on reading the Bible more constantly since that trip, and I feel like I want to stop watching TV and wasting time on myself and just grow more on my faith and walk with God. It's crazy to think that it is all in your hands, and God is leaving it all up to you to decide if you want a relationship with Him. It's sad to think that sometimes I only give Him 3 minutes of my day when it's usually just to ask for a good grade, or sometimes when I forget to even talk to Him at all. But I feel like we all have those moments, or at least I hope it's not just me. This past summer, I worked at the Unique Learning Center, a ministry to inner-city kids that our church supports. I fell in love with the children there. One of the things we would always do is a call and response. I would like to try it with you all, if that's okay. It is one that the kids would always scream out at the top of their lungs, but I don't expect you all to do that. Okay, so I'm going to say, "I can do," and you guys will all say, "What can you do?" Then I will say, "All things," and then you all will say, "How are you going to do it?" And it's important, instead of saying "going to," we like to say "gonna," because it's all these little kids, so it's easier for them to say. So this is a practice round, so no pressure. So I'll say, "I can do," then you all say, "What can you do?" "All things."
"How are you gonna do it?"
Hey, that's really good. Okay, so this time I'll do the full version. It's kind of long, so we'll just go for it. Okay. "I can do."
"What can you do?"
"All things."
"How are you gonna do it?"
"Through Christ who strengthens me." And it's the long part. "I'm climbing up a mountain, gonna make it to the top. It might get hard, but I'm not gonna stop. And if it gets rough, I'm gonna get tough, stick to it to the end, and hold on till I win." So that's it. So it's really encouraging, both for the kids, and I actually personally got a lot out of it. I hope it sticks with you guys like it has for me. Whenever I'm like running long distances or tackling something hard, this little chant comes to my mind, and I repeat it over and over so I can run 10 miles or something. I have to remember that I'm not following God on my own. Christ through the Spirit is in me, strengthening and guiding me. That's one of the things this church has taught me. I've learned a lot at National, and the memories like the Spirit will always be with me. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Won-Hee Lim, and I'm a senior at Episcopal High School, and I play violin and guitar in the 8:15 service. My parents are missionaries, and they have traveled all over the world to preach the gospel of Christ. As a family, we've traveled to Wales, England, Guatemala, and California. And through it all, God has been with us. Through it all, God has watched over my family, even as we stumbled through failures, chronic diseases, and many, many tears. Excuse me. To illustrate this point, let me take you back 3 years to a small residential pool in Fresno, California. It was a beautiful Friday afternoon in late April. I came back from school to meet my cousin, Kuko, who was visiting our family. My strict older brother had gone to a friend's house, so we decided to ask my parents if we could go for a swim at the pool after we washed the car. My dad asked him to watch over me. I barely had a chance to learn how to swim because from a young age I had a sinus infection in my nose that prevented me from allowing water to get in it without experiencing great pain. We went off, and within 5 minutes of being there, I noticed my cousin at the deep end of the pool, suddenly moving his arms quickly, and then, without a word, he sank. I was horrified. I went over to him, hanging onto the side, thinking, hoping that he was joking around. 10 seconds passed. I called out his name. Another 10 seconds passed. I began to strike the water and somehow wake him up from this game. It seemed as though a minute passed and I dived for the bottom of the pool where my cousin lay face down, motionless, in a fetal shape. Immediately as the water rushed into my nose, I could find myself barely able to keep from choking with the pain. I failed, so I tried again and again and again, once holding my nose with one hand, trying everything in my immature mind of how to get him out. It was at that moment that I closed my eyes and cried, "Lord God, help me." Nothing happened. It felt as though God had abandoned me at that crucial moment when I needed him most. But then, as I looked up to the sky in frustration and despair, I noticed two young men sitting on the balcony, having a conversation as I clambered out of the pool and called to them. "Excuse me, my cousin is stuck at the bottom of the pool." Immediately, one of them jumped down from the two-story high balcony and dived into the pool. When he came out, a second later, he had a blue-white person in his arms, whose limbs and head flopped aimlessly, unbreathing, without a single sign of life on his entire body. The two men started to perform CPR. I knelt there and rubbed my cousin's ice-cold limbs, while tears dropped from my eyes incessantly as I prayed, "Lord God, please save my cousin. You can't let him die now. Please save him." Soon I was yelling, "Save him, Lord, save him." I can remember the men shouting, "Call 911, call 911," and the residents gathering outside the pool, silently praying, offering me a hand. I remember being told to bring my parents, and I ran barefoot on the scorching asphalt, frantically knocking on the door and calling for them. After my cousin was taken to the ER, the doctors told us he has less than 1% of surviving the first 6 hours. Less than 1%. I couldn't believe it. My brother couldn't stop crying. He pounded his chest in anguish, cursing himself for going to his friend's house and leaving us alone. But praise be to God, Kukyo survived the first 6 hours. They decided to rush him to the children's hospital 20 minutes away, and they attached a machine to his body. It sounded like a machine gun, as it constantly pumped air into his broken, water-clogged lungs. He now had a 3% chance to survive the next 72 hours, and my family spent these hours fasting in a small room outside the ICU that the nurses provided for us. Even so, the doctors told us to make preparations to go back to Korea. We told them that we'd do so with him, fully alive and well. The doctor said it wasn't possible. If he should live, he would wake up a vegetable. We told him, no, with our God, nothing is impossible. And he responded, "I hope your God will listen to you." After 2 months in a coma, my cousin opened his eyes. When I heard the news during PE at school, I knelt down and prayed. We rushed to the hospital to find Kukyo, smiling, tears rolling down his face, as he thanked God and opened his arms to thank me for saving him. I, quite honestly, was lost for words. Kukyo now goes to Korea, in seminary in Korea, on scholarship. His dream, like mine, is to become a pastor and missionary for God. And I am so glad to testify to our story. Time and time again, God has shown me that he provides the best and that I cannot sustain myself without his unending love. And I am certain God has blessed my family because we placed all our trust in him. Grace was not given to us because of anything we've done, but because we placed our undivided trust in God. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If there is someone who loves us so much, what will he not give us? What will he hold back from us that is good for us?" When I found out that I would board at the Episcopal High School, my greatest worry was if I'd find a church where I could worship God to the fullest extent. In National Presbyterian, I found sanctuary, and I am truly blessed to have been a part of it this past year. Every Sunday, despite whatever may have happened the week before, I've been able to start the week with my eyes open to God's grace and the sheer beauty of living under his wing. Thank you, National Presbyterian Church. God has graciously sent me to Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia. And I know that without the comfort I found here, I wouldn't have made it. Thank you, and may God continue to walk in your lives and bless you always. Help us to take your word and his love and live lives of great thankfulness within your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Good morning. My name is Grace Chandler, and I am currently a senior at Walt Whitman High School in Bethesda, Maryland. If you haven't already seen my dad's tie, I'm going to Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina next year. My relationship with God began when I was just 6 years old. I was at Camp Greystone, an all-girls camp in the mountains of North Carolina. And every night at camp, our cabin counselor would read a little passage from a book about God. One particular night, she explained to us that God is king. And since God is king, and we are his children, then we are all little princesses. As you can imagine, this was a very appealing image for a six-year-old girl. And that night, I privately prayed to God and accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've always attended church with my family. Going to Sunday school when I was younger, was always just a part of the routine. I never minded coming, as I liked seeing my friends and I liked doing the little crafts that I could take back home. When I reached middle school, however, my life began to change. I was diagnosed with ADHD in the sixth grade, and I didn't really know how to handle it. I didn't even know how to tell my family. I lost motivation for school and most other things. I lost my appetite, a common side effect of the medication, and I had no energy for anything. I stopped enjoying everything, including coming to church. The summer after sixth grade, Don McGon, who was one of our youth leaders who is no longer at MPC, literally dragged me on a mission trip. This trip was to Dungannon, Virginia. This was the absolute last thing I wanted to do. However, helping people who couldn't help themselves turned out to be exactly what I needed. This experience inspired me. On that trip, I learned how Jesus can take our worries and troubles and how he can calm our storms. One night on this trip, I remember crying because I believed I didn't deserve that kind of love, Christ's love. But I came home much happier and much more aware of Christ in my life. As I began high school, my faith began to slip, as boys and friends became my top priority. I had drifted from God and really thought I had my life all figured out. I decided to go on another mission trip, this time to the Dominican Republic. I went on this trip mostly because my sister had gone and because I thought it'd be really cool to experience a new culture. I never knew it would change my life, and that God was waiting for me there. On the trip, I met new NPC friends who had real stories and real lives with far greater challenges than I'd ever had. I learned about the people of the Dominican Republic who lived in terrible conditions but had great faith. We cried, we laughed, we learned, and we grew on that trip. I had never been so thankful for my life and for anyone in it. So school started again a month or so after the trip, and the memories of the Dominican slowly faded. I settled back into my routine, and I thought I had my life figured out again. A year after the trip, my grandfather died. He was one of the greatest people I have ever known and will ever know. He had slowly been degrading with dementia, and one final stroke forced him into a nursing home. He was barely able to speak and eat. I decided to go to South Carolina and help my grandmother take care of him. The minute I saw him, I began to cry because this was not the man I knew. He was not the man who taught me to play tennis and who cheered me on by saying, "Grace, you knocked the fire out of that bowl." He was not the one who always sat at the head of the table and led blessings. He was not the one who saved lives as a pediatrician and absolutely loved his profession. He is the reason I'm loud and talkative, love tennis, and have curly hair. He said his last words to me. He said, "I love you, sweetheart." And after that, things were all in a rush. Lots of visitors and food and people telling stories about him, like how he literally carried a sick girl to the hospital because she was having an asthma attack. After that summer, I was really out of sync. I worked hard on my tennis. And, you know, when I thought I was done with boys for a while, another one came into my life. He became my best friend, and we had a really special relationship. Unfortunately, with the brushes of high school, he ended the relationship. I was heartbroken just in time to face the world of college applications and the rejection of my top choice school. My life seemed really filled with rejection. But in a quiet and gradual way, I again found God. I went on the MPC youth retreat and started helping out in the 3-year-old Sunday school class here at church. With God's help, I have found my home in my school next year, and I could not be happier with where I've ended up. I've definitely said I too many times this morning, so I need to thank a lot of people. First, Don McGon and Mitch Gore for helping me pull me out of slumps, mostly by force. For Dr. Fox for helping me see God in this exhausting college process and helping me accept what just isn't meant to be. For my wonderful friends, Anna Martin, Charlie Holt, Louise Bowser, Stuart Miller, Allison Chicas, Rebecca Gore, Aaron Gordon, and many others here at MPC. They have witnessed these things firsthand. For Paul, who has done a fantastic job with this youth program. For LaDawn Nagel, who has seen me at my best and worst and allowed me to work with her in the 3-year-old Sunday school class, which is always the best part of my week. And for my wonderful family. My mom, who always pushes me to do my best. My dad, who is the hardest worker I will ever know. My sister, whom I admire very much. My brother, who was everything I wish I could be. And my grandmother, who I'm so happy to say is here today. She is my cheerleader and my best role model. My goal in life is to grow up to be exactly like her. I'm so glad I'm going to college 20 minutes away from her because I love spending time with her more than anyone else in this world. I know I'm taking everything I've learned here with me and for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Charlie Holt, and I'll be attending High Point University next year. One of the reasons why I chose this place is because I heard Southern girls are so much more cuter than girls here. I have yet to see if this is the case. At first, I didn't know what to write about in my testimony because I've led a pretty average life so far. Over the years, I heard so many seniors talk about their testimonies and had really intense experiences about God or how they came to God in a traumatic way. My testimony is not like that. For those of you who know me, I rarely stress about anything. My family was more stressed about my testimony than I was. They just kept telling me, make it personal. So this is it. I live in the moment, and my goal is to take every opportunity I get. I'm always optimistic, and I try to express this in my faith. Every time I run a 5K race, I always give my all at the last 400 meters. Aside from sports and hanging out with friends, the church has been a huge part of my life. Through the years of going to church, working at VBS, and the great experiences I had going on mission trips, I could tell that my relationship with God was getting stronger. However, I was still concerned that I did not have a close relationship with God as some of the people in my church. I thought I was weird because I did not have a naturally strong relationship with God. Growing up in the church made me different from a lot of kids I knew. Not many people can say that they have been a part of the church their whole life. I am proud to say that I have this experience. The people at MPC are amazing. Some of my closest friends are those that I know through going to church. Aaron is one of my closest friends here at MPC. He has been there every step of the way. Whether it has been going on mission trips and retreats or riding Superman 3 times in a row, he was always there. Another reason why MPC has played such an important role in my life is because of the youth leaders who dedicate their time day in and day out to help us. If it wasn't for leaders like Mitch and Eric, I probably would not have been anywhere close to the same experience that I had here at church. I always consider Mitch to be a big kid. Mitch was always ready to have fun, and when it came to paintball, he and Eric made a lethal team. However, Mitch did have a serious side. He was the one that told me it's natural not to experience God until later on in life. When I heard this, I was relieved because what little stress I had was now gone. It is because of leaders like Mitch and Eric that I kept coming back on mission trips. Even though I have had great opportunities to talk to God at church, I was still unsure about how to talk to him about my real problems. In the summer of my sophomore year, I went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic in Haiti. This is only my third time traveling out of the country and my first time going to a third world country. So naturally, I had no idea what to expect. When I got there, the people there were warm and inviting, and I had never seen anyone so close to God. When I experienced this, I felt a feeling of compassion that I never knew I could have achieved. When I got back, I felt like a changed person, and I truly saw the work of God. That trip was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I have no regrets going on it. Even though I still have a lot of growing up to do, and I know that God will help me through it, whether it is going to college or after college and finding a new career, he'll be there. I want to thank Grace, Louise, Stuart, Allison, and Rebecca, and of course Campbell, for always being there for me. I love you so much. I would also like to thank youth leaders like Paul, Eric, and Steve for guiding me through my high school career. You guys were so inspirational, and I love you both so much. I love you guys so much. And of course, I want to thank my family, who are always there for me and so supportive of me, no matter what it is I did. And I know that whatever career I follow, you guys will be right behind me. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Allison Chikas. I'm currently a senior at Northwest High School in Germantown, Maryland, and next year I will be attending the University of Maryland at College Park. Many of you probably know me and or my family. I'm the daughter of Gabe and Christy Chikas. Most of you have probably told me how much I look like my mother also. And the last of the Chikas kids to go through the youth program here at National, with my siblings Corey, Tim, and Kelly preceding me. I've been attending the National Presbyterian Church my entire life. I was baptized here, took my first communion here, and was confirmed here. The congregation here at National has become something of an extended family to me over the years. Growing up, I had a pretty easy childhood. I actually grew up thinking my family was something of a perfect family. We all got along for the most part, and I felt like nothing bad could ever happen to my family. However, when I was in the seventh grade, that idea was quickly proven to be false. One night in March, my father came into my room and told me that my brother had to go to the hospital for emergency surgery. I was shocked. I had no idea that there was anything wrong. From that night on, my brother has struggled on and off with various health issues that started to put a strain on family relationships. I all of a sudden noticed more arguing in the house and began to see the problems in my family. That perfect facade quickly fell apart. However, I'm not one who adapts well to changes or who is able to speak easily about any problems I'm having or about my feelings. I was not ready to let that perfect idea go. I became convinced that if I acted like I was perfect, that I could convince myself that everything else was. This meant that I pushed myself in school, not only academically, but to always appear happy and as if nothing ever got me down. I found myself questioning where God was in all of this. How could he let these things happen to my family? And more specifically, why wasn't he stopping them from happening? While I struggled with these questions, my faith was still, for the most part, strong. I continued attending church, and it became something of a relief for me to be in a place where I could let the act of being perfect go. I went on youth retreats and felt really in touch with God, but I had a hard time maintaining those feelings afterwards. Things became more difficult my sophomore year of high school. My older sister, Kelly, left to go to college. Kelly and I are extremely close, and I began to feel increasingly isolated and alone. I felt as if there was no one I could talk to about what I was struggling with or what my family was going through. I didn't want to bother anyone with how I was feeling when I knew that there were bigger issues going on. At this point, instead of turning to God, I began to pull away. There wasn't any big change necessarily. I still went to church, and I knew I still believed, but my relationship with God became something that just wasn't a priority for me anymore. There were moments when this lukewarm feeling would be rekindled into a fire, such as when I went on the mission trip to Haiti. However, when the trip ended and I was no longer in that atmosphere, my faith again began to slack off a bit. I again became much more focused on being the perfect girl who didn't have any problems and had it all together. This idea continued for a while, but it was getting increasingly hard to do. I was finding myself breaking down alone because I was too afraid to show anyone else that I wasn't all okay. I began to think that it wasn't even worth it to bother God with what I had prayed for so many times before. I figured that my prayers maybe just weren't supposed to be answered. Then, a few months ago, it just became too much. There were health issues with my brother again, and it was making things tense in my house. I just sat in my room and cried. I finally called out to God, not half-heartedly as I had in the past, but a true, deep cry that he would come and take my burden from me. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I suddenly got this feeling of extreme calm, and it was almost as if he was there with me. From that point on, I decided that I was going to give a concerted effort to improve my relationship with God. The hardest thing for me has always been accepting that I'm not strong enough to do things on my own, and not just praying for God to intervene in a situation, but to really believe that he actually will work in that place. The verses we read today, specifically 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, became the ones I wanted to put in practice in my life. I have never wanted to boast that I am weak, because for so long, I haven't wanted anyone to know. However, the idea of God's strength being made perfect in my weaknesses is actually an incredibly comforting fact. I know that I'm not perfect, but God is, and he is made perfect in my imperfections. I would like to thank all the people who have helped me get to this point and who have invested their time in helping me understand what it truly means to be a Christian. I have an amazing family who, even through rough times, would never fail to emphasize that the Holy Spirit was at work and that it was all part of God's plan. I would like to thank my parents for being wonderful examples of how to live your life for Christ and for always being willing to pray with me and for me, even when I didn't want it. I'd like to thank my siblings for always being there to listen to me and seeing through my I'm fine act. I would like to thank the wonderful people I've come in contact with at this church. Adults like Don McGon, Mitch Gore, Eric Castle, and Paul Lauerman, as well as the countless adult volunteers in Sunday school who willingly spend their time with teenagers, which is no easy feat. The amazing friends who I've made here, as well as the entire congregation who always has a nice word to say to me and always has watched me in my growth. As silly as it sounds, throughout the years, watching other seniors giving their testimonies, I always felt that somehow I would have it all figured out by the time I gave mine. That's not true. I did not have it all figured out by any means, but I do have faith that God does. While I still struggle with wanting to be perfect and to truly believe that God can and does intervene in my life, I do know that he is there and that he cares for me and loves me deeply, and this is something that I can always count on. Thank you. And would you pray with me now? Sorry. Dear Lord, I thank you for meeting us all here together today. I thank you for the testimonies of Grace and Charlie and myself, and I pray that our words would truly encourage the congregation and that they would be written on their hearts and that we would all learn more about you through it. In your name we pray. Amen.